And so that's why David prays in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my eyes. Search me, O God, and know my brain. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Then change it and lead me in your everlasting way." And he wasn't saying to God, "Search me because you need to know." No, he searched me because I need to know. Reveal it, surface it.
Happy New Year and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, a message Pastor Wayne gave at the end of a year a while back, encouraging us to see things up. We sometimes find ourselves looking down when we hear about all the doom and gloom around us. But God's Word tells us to look up. That's where our help comes from. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Seeing Things Up.
You know, we are in the last chapter, and we can see the world continuing to unravel around us. I mean, in real time. In fact, even non-Christians are realizing that our world is unraveling. I usually don't share what politicians say, but you have to hear this one. This is Nancy Pelosi, and she's giving her weekly brief, and she says this, quote, "There is an attitude of lawlessness in our country that springs from I don't know where." Oh, wait a minute, I thought, we just thrown God out of our courtrooms, our schoolrooms, our colleges, and we promote people getting upset in our cities, and they're demonstrating, and then we want to defund the police and increase abortion, and we wonder why lawlessness is taking place. I thought, I think at least you recognize it. That's nice. But especially now, we as the church would be the last remnant of people that will be the core of God's heart for the world. Right now, the world is being fractured, and that's the devil's ploy. If you think about it, leaders are contradicting leaders. People are suing the president, the president's suing governors. Then you have expert scientists contradicting one, and this one demeaning that one, and they're both calling it science. And then we have schools that say, we know better than parents, and parents are saying, no, these are our kids. And now we have inflation and economic doomsday, and things are going funny. And so this whole thing is fracturing, and that's exactly what the devil wants, because all he has to do is go boop, and everything crumbles. And it's setting it up. And you take a look at it, it's not just happening in America, it's global, everywhere. So you know this is the last chapter. It's not just in America or somewhere in a remote country. No, this is everywhere on our globe. We're looking for a digital currency, which the Bible talks about, a one world currency, one world government, wars and rumors of wars. It's going on everywhere. I don't know if we're in the first part of the last chapter, middle part, or last part, but we're in the last chapter. And that tells us that we've got a job to do, and the window will close. So we've got to get back to who God has called us to be. Paul says it well in the New Testament when he says it in Ephesians chapter 5, and he says it this way. Therefore, because we're realizing the world that's unraveling around us and the fracturing of it all, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Listen to this. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Yeah, and the Bible says it'll go from bad to worse. But we can redeem the time because the days are evil. You see, we want to redeem technology. We want to redeem the arts. We want to redeem everything we can for the gospel. And here Paul is saying, redeem the time for the gospel. The days are evil. And so take a look at the days, not as something that's overcome us, but we're going to overcome it. And we're going to redeem it for the good news. Therefore, he says, do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. He's saying, if you'll understand what God sees and you see it the same way, we'll be on his timetable. If you will see things the way God is seeing it and start acting the way God wants us to act, then we will be on his ledger. We will be a part of his plan. And that's what we want to talk about. It's seeing things God's way. And the title of the message is Seeing Things Up. First, a funny story. This is a true story. Actually, a friend of mine told me this. He's a pastor on the East Coast. And he said, Wayne, my wife and 9-year-old daughter, we wanted to do a vacation along the ocean. And so through a travel agency, they rented a little bungalow right on the beach. And it was a sunny, balmy day the next day when they awoke. So the little daughter said, hey, Dad, let's go for a bicycle ride, because they had brought their bicycles. So he geared up his daughter and got her all dressed, and the wife, and he got on their bicycles. All three of them are riding along the balmy, sunny seashore. But one of the things that the travel agent did not tell them was next to, adjacent to their property, was a nudist colony. And lo and behold, sure enough, they take a corner and here's four people riding their bicycles in the opposite direction in the buff, looking for a total body tan. And they ride by, and the father's polarized, thinking, how is this going to affect the mind of my young daughter? Just then the daughter looks at the dad and says, Dad, did you see that? None of them was wearing a helmet. Today we're going to talk about not what you see, but how you see what you see. Seeing things up rather than down, brighter rather than darker. Not what it looks like to us, but what does it look like to God? And what we'll learn today will affect not only you, but it'll affect your family, and it'll affect the future of your family. Because how you see things will reveal the true condition of your faith. So Matthew 6 says anyway. Let's read it together. It'll come up on the board. Would you read it with me? Go. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He's not talking about your eyeballs when he's saying the lamp of your body is your eye. He's talking about how do you see things? Because I'll always remember, you don't see with your eyes. Your eye is an ocular lens that projects an image onto your brain, and your brain is what sees. Your heart defines what you're seeing, friend or foe, good or bad. And it's inside that's defining how you see. It's not what you see. But we've all been around naysayers, haven't we? People that are almost like they're programmed to see things down. Everything, that their conversation revolves around seeing things into a lower state. And they always conclude things that are darker than they need to be. It's someone else's fault. There's a worst case scenario. Somebody else did it wrong. It's not mine. I did a devotion the other day. And by the way, I want to encourage you to go to the New Hope app and download a devotional. It'll come to you every morning at about 8 o'clock. And I do my devotions a few days in advance and post them, and it goes into your box so that I can have a little snippet of an encouraging word for you from the Word every morning. So please do get into that. You can go into our website and then click Discover, and then the next step is Daily Devotions, and you'll be able to sign up, and it'll come right to your box every morning. But here's a part of a devotion, how we kind of blame God and blame others for stuff going on when it's really inside of us is how we see. It's not what we see. I write, have you ever been walking on a soccer field, or any field for that matter, and you begin to smell dog poop? Wouldn't it be foolish to look up to heaven and blame God, or look around and blame people for the odor? But now, we all know the first place to check is our own shoes. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed God, who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent or even give him glory. And I write, We never seem to change, do we? The propensity of fallen man is to blame God or others when it's our very own actions that precipitated the consequences. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and we see the results of it everywhere. In fact, you think about it, the majority of man's ills have been caused by our own sin. Immorality, murder, drugs, abortion, deception and leadership, greed. Even pandemics can be caused by man's attempts to do things man's ways. Sin has invaded our world, and to make matters worse, we blame God or others for the consequences instead of checking our own shoes for the source of the foul odor. And we have a tendency to do that, to blame others. We see things into a lower state, we blame others. There was a couple of cartoon characters in the past. One was from Little Abner, and the other's from more modern cartoon, a strip called Peanuts. How many of you remember Little Abner? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you are embarrassed. You don't want to be seen as old, I understand. But that is a guy that walked around with always a dark cloud over his head. Everything is going bad. Nothing is going right. Or Pigpen from Peanuts that carries around his own dust bowl wherever he goes. I wonder sometimes if we're not careful, we can actually resemble one of these characters. Our souls, it doesn't matter if you have been walking with Jesus for 50 years, our souls and our spirits can get clogged up just like a bad plumbing drain pipe. And we need to maintain our spirit and our soul so that our eyes see things clearly and they don't get clouded by the things going on around us, like a world that's unraveling. It can cloud our souls and it can cause our spirits so that the fracturing that's taking place in the world actually starts taking place in the church, where families turn against one another simply because of a political figure that one likes and another doesn't like. And pretty soon, families get fractured, Christian families. Or someone likes one thing and someone doesn't like another, or someone agrees with the vaccine and someone doesn't. It's splitting families. And I'm thinking, no. That's why the Bible says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the faith. If there's any place that unity must be maintained, intentionally maintained, it's in the church of the living God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's got to be there. Because if we get fractured along with the world, there's no hope, is there? And so we must be what the Bible calls the remnant of truth, the people of God who are pillar and support of the truth. It's how you see things. We can see things down. Oh, we're all done with. Or we can see it up. Wait a minute. It's getting darker, so any light will seem brighter. And maybe now is the time where God's going to move in people's lives because they see the contrast that heaven is turning up. Just see things up. Just see things up, because I bet God sees it that way. There's a story of two shoe salesmen sent to Haiti to sell shoes. And when they got off the airplane, the first salesman looked around. No one's wearing shoes. And so he quickly called his company and he said, "You sent us to the wrong place. Cancel my order. Nobody wears shoes here." The second one called his company and said, "Man, did you send us to the right place? Triple my order. Everybody needs shoes." It's not what you see. It's how you see it. And the same thing is true with the world that's going on around us. But here's the thing that's so interesting is how we see things is actually the true revelation of the condition of our faith on the inside. We're about to see that from the book of Numbers, a story that's written there in the Old Testament. But a lot of times it's what's already inside of us that's going to color what we see. So God shows us what we're seeing, and it shows us what's inside on the other side of our eyeballs. If our eye is clear, our body will be full of light. Or if you're seeing things the way God sees it, your heart is good. If you aren't, your heart may be dark. And so that's why David prays in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my eyes. Search me, O God, and know my brain. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there's any wicked way in me." then change it and lead me in your everlasting way. And he wasn't saying to God, search me because you need to know. No, he searched me because I need to know. Reveal it, surface it. And in the New Testament, it has a very revealing scripture. And would you read this with me out of Matthew 15? Would you read it? Go. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person. You see, sometimes God has to show me that there's lust in my own heart or anger in my own heart. And when I say, man, that guy makes me angry, God is saying, no, Wayne, he didn't make you angry. Anger was dormant in your own heart. He may have surfaced it, but I revealed it. And now what are you going to do? Blame it on him and say he's the dog poop? Or are you going to check your own shoes? Man, that woman, man, she just brought the worst out of me. Oh, no, lust was already in my heart, and she may have surfaced it, but why blame her when it was dormant in me? And maybe God just revealed it so I can repent and get my heart clear so I can start seeing things like God sees it. And God wants to clear that one after another. So when you say, man, what's all of this stuff happening in my life? It's just maybe God's at work, and you get to choose to repent every time he surfaces something. Or are you going to conceal it and hide it again? God loves us so much, and he wants us to look more and more like him. That's why the Bible says he's changing us from glory to glory into his image. So what's he got to do? He's got to surface some stuff that's dormant or latent in our heart. And now I have a choice either to stuff it down deeper or to confess it and it be put under the blood of Christ. And if we'll do it correctly, little by little, you'll begin to clear your heart and you'll start to see things, even troubled times, even evil times. You'll start to see it the way God sees it, and I'll see opportunity rather than opposition. I'll start to see potential rather than problems. I'll start to see things up rather than things down. And if we do that, then God can be at work. There's a true story of a teacher in a college not too far from here. It's in northern Oregon, but this teacher took over for another, and she was to teach her class because the first one retired, and she gave this succeeding teacher a two-column list of the students, the pupils she would teach. While in a lunchroom, she asked another peer, another teacher, why two columns? She said, well, usually what teachers do is the ones that are advanced students, they put in column A, and the ones that are more remedial, that you can't challenge too much, and you can't expect too much out of them, they're in column B. And so that's what you got. She said, really? Yeah. So she said, you could challenge these. These kids will be smart. These, not too smart. Well, she, throughout the year, did exactly what that teacher said, treated these as smart kids, treated these as not-so-smart kids. And sure enough, by the end of the year, column A got A's. Column B got C's and D's. Well, finally, she went to the principal and said, I just wanted to thank you for showing me these two columns, and because these kids are A students and these are not. And, you know, that helped me. And the principal said, oh, we did away with that system 7 years ago. The students' names that you had in column A and B had no rhyme or reason. They're just random names of your pupils, and they're all the same. But you saw one as smart, and they became that. You saw some as not so smart and treated them as such, and they settled for that. Always remember, life will not give you what you pray for or want. Life will give you what you settle for. And she settled for less, and that's what she got. How you see things are incredibly important to your family, to your spouse, to your future. Because if we always see things down, that's what's going to happen. No wonder we have so much trouble. But maybe we should start seeing things up. And the question to ask is, God, what are you seeing in my son, my daughter? What are you seeing in that person? You see, when people saw a problem, Jesus saw a miracle in the making. When people saw a shepherd boy in David, a renegade, a rebel shepherd boy, God saw a king disguised as a shepherd boy. When the religious leader saw a rebellious renegade, the Father saw redemption for you and me. And in these troubled times, evil times, God is saying, make the most of this time. The days are evil. Redeem it. Redeem it. Let's choose to intentionally see things up, to see what God is seeing and speak it. Well, what if it's like not true? You go with what the Father is saying, because that's truth. And you choose intentionally to do it His way.
I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And He turned to me and heard my cry.
He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire.
He set my feet on solid ground and stayed.
Hymn of praise to our God. Oh, 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 oh. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the joys of those you trust, the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols.
Oh, my God, You have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to live.
To recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all Your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them.
The New Hope Singers with Psalm 40 on Words of New Hope. You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Seeing Things Up by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's program. Until then, remember these words from King David. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence my help cometh. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, have a great day and a blessed new year. God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.